Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on tonight's episode of Nothing But the Truth with yours truly, Pastor Katie Pierce. And we do so appreciate your joining us on tonight, and we look forward to tonight's discussion or tonight's talk with reference to domestic violence. I found it very interesting as I was preparing for tonight's study or tonight's conversation about domestic violence, and as I began to just kind of inquire of what topic I wanted to explore on tonight, because we have explored a lot of different topics, found it interesting in talking about domestic violence as it relates to substance abuse. And the reason why I wanted to address that particular topic was I was thinking about it from the aspect of those who are abusers and the things that they go through as far as domestic violence and being addicted to different substances, whether it be alcohol, whether it be crack cocaine, whatever their choice is. And as I began to look at it and view different sites and gather different information, found it interesting in that the statistics that they were showing about domestic violence and those who are victims, for lack of a better word, those who are challenged with domestic violence and being on that end of it, as far as being a victim, I found it interesting, the statistics for them. Never looked at it from that perspective, never looked at it, well, I can't say I never, because I have heard of different women who have gone through domestic violence who said that their perpetrator would try to put different things in their drinks and their food, and that they were very skeptical about eating it, or they were very skeptical about drinking things because they never knew, because the perpetrator was an addict, they would try to do things to get them addicted to whatever their drug of choice was. And so on tonight, we're going to just explore that. We're going to talk about some of the stats and the statistics that go along with those things, and hopefully it can give you some information that will be beneficial and helpful to you, to whomever you need to reach out to who's going through domestic violence. But before we start that, I'd like to open with a word of prayer, and then we can get into our conversation. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come now before your sight and before your presence. Amen. We come, O Lord God, seeking you and you alone, O Lord God. We come, O now, God, asking that this particular blog will reach those who it is intended to reach, O Lord God. We pray now, God, that it'll be a help to somebody, O Lord God, that through listening to this particular blog, O Lord God, that somebody, O Lord God, will find a way of release. They'll find a way of escape, O Lord God. I pray it now in the name of Jesus. I pray for whomever, O Lord God, may be listening to this blog who is a batterer, O Lord God, and don't understand the specifics of why they're doing what they're doing, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that they'll receive an answer, O Lord God, and that what they need, O Lord God, to get the help that they need, God, we pray that we will have an answer for them as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. It is so, and so it is. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. So I was, again, wanted to just begin to go over some of the statistics again that I found as I was looking through these things, and give you some different websites that might be of some assistance to you. Again, my name is Pastor Katie Pierce, and I'm the director of Hope Alliance, Inc. And Hope Alliance is the acronym for Healing Opportunities Proposed for Everyone. And it is a Christian-based counseling. It's a Christian-based help center. So we use the Word of God to counsel. We use the Word of God to minister to those who have found themselves in domestic violence. And whatever the capacity, we want to minister to all. I wanted to read a little something to you from our brochure for Hope Alliance. And the thing that we do is, said, is we reach for those who are the abused and our desires to effectuate safety measures and follow through. We will assist in finding a safe haven for them and their dependents as well. Walk them through obtaining an order of protection and in extreme cases help finance the cause. Our ultimate goal is for them to find peace and security and knowing that someone cares, giving them the self-worth of victor and not a victim. We want to desire to help the abuser. We will assist in getting counseling for anger management or whatever the capacity is needed to help them through their abusive behavior. We want to get to the root source of the volatile behavior, and that's essential for these individuals. We want to teach techniques that bring about appropriate resolve to anger before it erupts into verbal or physical violence, and this includes detecting alcohol and drug abuse and establishing preventative resources. Becoming a vigilant asset to the family is attainable for you. And then, of course, we want to deal with those who are bruised. And the bruised, we will assist in regaining a sense of worth and a peaceful environment for your children, taking the broken trust and rebuilding to establish a well-rounded individual. This is especially imperative for boys over the age of 10. Statistics say at this age, boys will more than likely become abusers, ensuring an optimistic future for an otherwise dismal prognosis is first and foremost. Family members of those abused feel useless and sometimes frustrated. We will host workshops and support groups to gain insight on how to help loved ones who find themselves in domestic violence. Breaking the silence of abuse one family at a time is the passion of Hope Alliance, Inc. And this is, again, on our brochure, and the definite or the reason that these came about, these particular issues came about, and we're dealing into these core groups is because I found in walking through domestic violence myself that there were some aspects that where I didn't feel like I was getting the help I needed. And so domestic, from that, Hope Alliance equals birth, and I do want to try to assist those in areas that I feel I was not getting the appropriate help that I needed and desired. And so we ask that you would reach out to us if you need assistance in this area. If we can't help you, we can definitely direct you. That's our desire. And we can be reached at area code 708-574-2533, or you can visit our website, www.hopealliancinc.com. You're welcome to also email us at healing@hopealliancinc.com. Healing@HopeAllianceInc. That's our email address. So let's get started on tonight. I really wanted to play my song by Yolanda Adams, The Battle Is Not Yours, It's the Lord's, and was having some technical difficulties with my laptop. And so we're going to move right along. Now, what we again, was talking about on tonight was addressing the issue of substance abuse and domestic violence. And I found it in my research and in looking for it because I definitely, when I was going through domestic violence, part of the problem that I saw in my own issue was there was some drug addiction that was going on. And we began to pray and began to seek the Lord about that. And one thing that I found out is that substance abuse is not the cause of domestic violence. And I need to say that again. Substance abuse is not the cause of domestic violence. The experts are saying, and they are looking at that is definitely a correlation between the two, but it's definitely not the cause. There have been those who have gotten help in the area of substance abuse, and yet they were still going through or still being volatile in the relationship. And so I don't want to give false hope. I don't want you to feel like, oh, okay, once we deal with the substance abuse, then they're going to go to sleep a blunder and wake up a wonder and everything's just going to be hunky-dory. That may not be the case in many instances, but we need to get to the core of the problem as to what's causing the substance abuse. Okay, and so there are two different issues. It says studies of domestic violence have found that there is a frequent high incidence of alcohol and other drug use by perpetrators during domestic abuse. The reality is that it's not only the batterers who tend to abuse drugs and alcohol, but it is there is a probability that the victim of domestic violence will turn to alcohol and drugs to cope with the abuse and that it will usually increase from the alcohol and the drug abuse. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit because I've seen that, like I said and forestated, I've seen where those who are in domestic violence usually are looking to drugs and alcohol as a self-medication. They're looking to self-medicate. They're looking to numb. They're looking to get through the particular incidents. In some cases, they may be even coerced to do drugs or alcohol by their batterer, you know, come sit down and drink with me. And as opposed to going through something volatile, they give in and they begin to drink. And the next thing you know, you find yourself in an addictive, a substance abuse addiction. And so these are the things that we want to talk about on today. I also found out that the National Center of Addiction and Substance Abuse found that 69% of women being treated for substance abuse reported that they were sexually abused as children. And again, they're looking to this as a way to self-medicate, to numb them, to help them through the process. And I have to, again, reiterate the fact that many African-American families, we found that we were raised to think that any form of counseling is taboo, that you're crazy, and things of that nature. And we really need to eradicate that thinking. And we need to reverse that thinking because what I like to say to people is that if you go to the doctor and they tell you that there's something wrong with your foot and that they can't really get to the root cause of it and they're going to send you to a specialist, you have no problem in going to a specialist. You go to a specialist, you find out what's wrong, and they do whatever is necessary, and you're up and you're moving around. And that there are some instances when there are some things that can be off kilter, even in the mind, even in the thinking. And we won't get into the details of that, but in order for you to find out the details of it, you may need to be referred to a counselor. You may need to be referred to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And so I want us to get away from the premise or get away from the thinking, the taboo thinking that you're going for counseling is in some kind of way taboo. And so we want to get away from that thinking and get the help that we need. Treatment for alcoholism does not cure abusive behavior. Treatment for alcoholism or any kind of addiction does not cure abusive behavior. And I wanted to give you another statistic that I found out or that was given to me about drug abuse, and it really, really set some things in order for me in that it showed the difference between abusive behavior and then the behavior of somebody who is who's abusing drugs or abusing substances. And so it gave an analogy, it gave a breakdown of it, and I wanted to share that with you. I find it. Okay, but until then, I just want to begin to again to share with you and look at the fact that we can't get into a mindset that once they've been treated for drug addiction, that the abuse is going to leave. That's not likely. Okay, and so we don't want to get into that mindset and feel like that's going to be a cure-all. The Department of Justice found in 2002 that 36% of women in domestic violence programs also have problems with substance abuse. And again, the reasoning for that can vary. The reason for that can vary. But, I mean, these statistics are incredible. They're really, really alarming. The fact that 69% of women being treated also reported that they had sexually abused as a child. Imagine, if you will, those women, those 69% of women who may have sought out, whose parent would have sought out them getting some kind of counseling, the help that could have been given, and they could have avoided, a cycle that could have avoided that thing escalating into something else or morphing even into something else. And so we need to learn to listen to our children. We need to learn to treat these things by getting counseling, counseling from your pastor, counseling from whomever. Reach out to somebody who can give assistance in that area. Again, 36% of women, of victims in domestic violence program, have also had problems with substance abuse. And it is also said that 51% of program directors say a woman's use of alcohol can be a barrier to her being able to leave a volatile relationship. Because you're not thinking correctly. You're not thinking with a clear head and with a clear mind. And so the drinking and whatever the abusive addiction is can stop you from thinking clearly and prohibit you or elongate your getting out of a domestic violence or just getting the necessary treatment that you may need to help you to deal with it, to help you to think clearly, to help you to find some answers as to a way out of that particular situation. And so we definitely need to begin to look at that. When we talk about addressing substance abuse and domestic violence, there are some things that they need to begin to look at, that you need to begin to talk about with someone, signs of alcohol and drug use. You may say, well, I don't really know if he's using drugs. I don't really know what he's doing. And there are certain appearances. There are certain things. Well, of course, that of an alcoholic would be you definitely can smell the liquor on it. And I just want to say, too, and I know that many would differ with me, but I want to say that marijuana, in whatever its form, it also is a drug. Okay, it's also a drug. The reason I want us to think about that is the fact that alcohol was once considered not a drug. They legalized alcohol. They legalized alcohol, and yet alcohol destroys people. It destroys their health. It destroys their family. It destroys their thinking. There are so many adverse things that happen to those who are abusing alcohol. And I venture to say that there have not been enough study given to marijuana and its negative effects for us to really, really think clearly about how this is affecting us. And so it's just the fact of the matter that when you're drinking it, it puts you in a euphoric type of demeanor. You're not thinking clearly. You hallucinating. You're not in control of everything that's going on around you. Okay, those are negative things that are happening to you. And so you have to begin to look at that and begin to understand that marijuana, and most marijuana now, I don't know what they're putting in it. I had the misfortune of being in a store and passed by somebody and thought a skunk had walked into the place. They reeked. And I'm just like, what in the world is that smell? And they were walking off and they were laughing. And I'm standing back there like, who wants to smell like that? Okay, but that's neither here nor there. So you can tell from that. And then how often the person is using, is it taking them away from their everyday things? They're not able to get the things done that they need to get done in a normal day. Also, you can begin to look at the size of a drug user if they have tracks, needle marks on their arm, unusual and extreme behavior, nodding off, overly alert, slurred or rapid speech, staggering, tremors, glassy-eyed, pupils dilated or constricted, unable to sit still, disoriented or confused for no apparent reason, argumentative, defensive, or angry at questions about substance abuse. And these things are serious, you know, when you start talking about trying to look at a person and trying to detect what's really going on with them, whether or not they need some assistance or help. You really, really can tell. Extreme weight loss can come from a person that's abusing alcohol because most of the time they're not eating, so they're losing weight with this. And so when you start talking about these types of things or detecting it, these are some of the things that you want to look at as far as detecting whether or not there's a problem with that. And then if that is a concern and you want to talk to somebody about, you know, when you're getting help about it, make mention of that to them so that they can deal with that in addition to dealing with the abusive behavior. And so you want to address those issues and you want to look at that and you want to let somebody know what's really, really going on. So substance abuse does not cause domestic violence. We said that once. Most abusers do not have substance use problems, and those who do, many continue to abuse their partners even after they have stopped using drugs and alcohol. Additionally, most persons who abuse substances are not violent towards others. So you can't say that it's the drug abuse that's causing domestic violence. Otherwise, everybody that's an abuser or everybody who is a substance abuser would be volatile and would be a batterer, and that's not the case. That is not the case. And so we can't say, we can't try to put them in the same basket and say, you know, the person is abusive because they're abusing drugs. That's not the case because you have those who are not abusive who use drugs. And so there is a close association, of course, but we have to deal with them on two separate terms. They have to be dealt with on two separate terms. And I wanted to, again, give you the analogy that they were given, the breakdown that was given here. And this is called the Center for Court Innovation. Trying to see if it was going to show me the actual website. But I pulled this up online, and it's a fact sheet. It's called Substance Abuse and Domestic Violence, the fact sheet. And the fact sheet says that substance abuse is a loss of control, whereas domestic violence is all about control. These are the differentiating factors. Substance abuse is about loss of control. The alcohol or drug is in control, and the user is beholden to that substance, unable to stop drinking or using the drug by him or herself. Domestic violence, on the other hand, is a pattern of behavior with the intent of asserting power and coercive control over one's partner. Each act of abuse is deliberately chosen by the abuser to gain more control over the victim. So substance abuse is about a loss of control, whereas the drug or whatever the form of substance abuse that they've chosen, they're unable to stop drinking, they're unable to stop using drugs, whereas domestic violence is all about control, and it's about that person trying to assert power over his victim. And so that's the two differentiating factors. Substance abuse is about disinhibition, and alcohol and drug cause suppressive feelings of anger to surface and to reduce judgment, inhibitions, and decision-making abilities, whereas domestic violence is an awareness of actions. The abuser is abusive and violent both when sober and when under the influence. Intoxication and addictions are used as excuses for the abusive behavior. And I remember specifically an altercation that I had when I was in domestic violence, and I was thinking that it had to do with the drug abuse. And he was totally sober. Totally sober, and out of nowhere, something triggered, and the next thing I knew, we were in a volatile altercation. And I was just shocked because I was trying to make the excuse. I was trying to give the excuse that he was only violent when he was under the influence, and that proved not to be so. So we have to understand, and you have to accept the fact that they're only using that as an excuse for their volatile behavior, and that's not good. Substance abuse is a disease. Addiction is a disease that can render one helpless. The addict is considered to be sick and directly harming him or herself, and may be indirectly harming loved ones as well. However, addiction can be effectively treated, whereas domestic violence is a choice. Domestic violence is the perpetration. The domestic violence perpetration is a choice, not a disease, not a mental health psychological problem. The individual is choosing to be violent and harm others in order to get his way or because he thinks he is justified in doing so. And again, there can be layers of issues in addition to domestic violence, but domestic violence stands on its own. There may be other things that have to be dealt with that it may even be mental and psychological disorders, but domestic violence has to be dealt with in its own because it's a choice. The person chooses to be violent. It's a choice. And again, it says, whereas substance abuse is a disease. Treatment for substance abuse. Substance abuse treatment often focuses on surrendering control and admitting that one is helpless to the disease of addiction. Treatment may include individual or group counseling, self-help approaches, and medical treatment. Relapse is anticipated as a known part of the rehabilitation process. I'm not sure if I agree with that. But this is part of what they're saying as far as the Center for Court Intervention, that relapse is anticipated as a known part of rehabilitation. Accountability and education is for domestic violence. Accountability, being accountable for your own actions. I cannot stress that enough. Being accountable for your own actions. Stop blaming everybody else for your abusive behavior. Therapeutic interventions with abusers have thus far not been proven effective in preventing reoffending. Court order programs should focus on accountability and charging violent attitudes and behavior. All reoffending is viewed as unacceptable, and it is inherently harms the victims and the victim's children. And so, I definitely agree with the fact about accountability and educating, getting the educating, because I think domestic violence also is a learned behavior. It's like hate crimes and those who are prejudiced. They weren't born like that, but somebody taught them to think that way. And I think that domestic violence is something where when a person, the proper boundaries haven't been set, or they were reared up looking at that as a way of life or a way, a habitual way to communicate. They pick that up themselves and they begin to act it out. They begin to do it. And unfortunately, for those who are victims, they may have even seen that type of behavior in their growing up and look at it as an acceptable behavior, looking at domestic violence as an acceptable behavior. And we know that that's not the case. So it's a matter to me of accountability and educating, unlearning, showing that this is not an acceptable behavior, then giving some alternatives as to how you can deal with different, with anger issues, with communicating, perhaps you don't know how to communicate, effective communication, things of that nature. These are the things that's going to help when we talk about educating, that's going to help this the person that's the batterer, to learn some new skills, to learn new ways of communicating effectively, learning new ways of how to handle anger, that you just don't lash out when you become angry. You can't hit people when you become angry, okay? So it'll be worth that ministering to them or assisting them in that area. It is worth noting that victims of domestic violence may also struggle with substance abuse issues that predate the abuse. They worsen by the abuse or arose as a result of abuse as a way of coping with the trauma. And so again, we're looking at the fact that those who have become substance abusers, it could have come from something that previously happened to them, as we forestated that, you know, those who have found themselves as substance abuse were sexually abused as a child, and they turned to alcohol or drugs to try to self-medicate, to forget about, to be able to cope with it. It could be a result of abuse as a way of coping with trauma, and it could have come from that alone. And I want to say that so that we can begin to be sensitive to those who are addicted to drugs, those who are addicted to alcohol. You know, it's not always just, oh, wow, they can help themselves and why are they doing that and things of that nature. But something could have happened. Something could have happened to them as a child that brought about them trying to escape the situation, trying to escape, and in their trying to escape, they got strung out on something that was harmful to them. So we need to begin to be a little more sensitive to those who are addicted to drugs and begin to try and minister to them or talk to them and let them get the help that they need, okay, especially those who are the victims of abuse, domestic violence, the victim of domestic violence that have started drinking because they can't cope, they can't deal with it, and they're using this as a way to self-medicate. So, again, we have to deal with it from that perspective and begin to help them to get some healthy ways of thinking, beginning to get them to first face the problems, admitting the problem, admitting that there is a problem, and getting the help that they need to get out of that. That brought to mind a scripture that I used to share: he who hides cannot prosper. He who hides cannot prosper. And I share that with people because we have this habit, or we were raised, don't put our business in the street, don't let everybody know your business, don't let everybody in your house and things of that nature. And I understand that, generally speaking, I understand that. But when it gets to a point where it's eating you, when it's eating away at you, hallelujah, when it's eating away at you, it's time to get some help. It's time to come out of hiding. It's time to come out of hiding and come before the Lord and say, God, I'm coming before you because I need help. I need help, Lord God. I need you to help me in this place. So I'm speaking directly to somebody. You found yourself, you're in a domestic violence situation, and you're turning to some coping mechanisms that are going to prove to be detrimental to you, to your health, okay, and even perhaps have your children taken away because of the fact that you're now addicted to drugs, and then DCFS going to have to come in. It's just so many effects, fireball effects to this thing, that you need to just understand that there is a way of escape, that God has given you a way of escape. And so we definitely are in prayer for you, that you'll pick up that telephone, that you'll call, that you'll email, that you will reach out to somebody and let them know, I need help. I need help. And then they can work with you to assist you in that endeavor and get you to a place of being healthy and being whole. Amen. Amen. So I was looking at the link between domestic violence and substance abuse. A pervasive myth maintains that alcohol and drug abuse causes domestic violence. And I have to keep saying that because, remember, we're educating, we're trying to give voice. We're trying to give voice to domestic violence. And we need to take away that stereotype. We need to take away that excuse that alcohol and drugs cause domestic violence. We already gave you the difference between the two, the differentiating factors, that substance abuse is a loss of control, whereas domestic violence is all about control. It's about the person trying to manipulate, trying to assert power over its victim. And so we want to get out of that mindset. You know, if he's drinking and he's telling you he only hit you because he was drinking or because he got high, and, you know, you know I don't do that when I'm not. No, that's not the case. That is not the case. And so even if it were, even if you believe that, okay, let's just go with this premise. Even if you believe that, then you need to say, then you still need to get help, because this is eroding who I am, and I need you to get help to get so that you're whole and so that you're healthy. Okay, so you still want to push that. You still want to let them know if they're using this as an excuse for their volatile behavior, then you want to definitely tell them, I need you to get some help. I need you to get help because I'm not your punching bag. I need you to get help because the words that you're saying, the sticks, they have become my sticks and my stones, because you're saying some words that are hurting me. You're saying some things that's eating away at the fiber of who I am, and I can no longer tolerate that. So even if you believe that, still, there needs to be you telling them. There needs to be you telling them they need to get help. Okay, and so we want to take that away. Research suggests that the majority of batterers are not substance abusers, and that the majority of substance abusers do not abuse their partners. And so we've taken away that premise. We're taking away that myth that they go hand in hand. No, they do not. It has been proven that that is not the case. So if it were, then we can allow batterers to become less accountable in the violence he was drinking or he was high. And it takes away, again, accountability. When they're able to say they were drinking or they were high, it's taking away them being accountable for their actions. It's taken away from that. And what we need for a batterer is for him to be accountable, for him to say, I have a volatile behavior and I need help. Okay, and so we don't want to give excuse. We don't want to give reason. Research examining the link between domestic violence and alcohol or drug use is not clear. Most studies indicate that batterers are intoxicated or high in about 30% of the battering incidents. However, a battering incident that occurs when the perpetrator is intoxicated or high may be more severe and result in greater injury to the victim. So, no, the person doesn't have to be high, but the results of it being worse than what it could be if they're drinking or if they're intoxicated or if they're high on drugs. And so it just escalates. It just makes for an even worse situation. And so you want to begin to understand that and get them the help that they need. Okay, it's so very, very important. In a domestic violence homicide study, findings that indicate 79% of abusive men were intoxicated every day or almost every day. Keep in mind that sobriety does not assure safety, nor does safety ensure sobriety. Do not demand that a victim be sober prior to addressing victimization. This issue must be addressed simultaneously. And so whether he's high or whether he's not high or whatever the case may be, again, it's two different things, but it has to be addressed. Domestic violence, can I just say it like this? Domestic violence is a monster of its own, and there are different tentacles that can come from it, but domestic violence is a monster in and of itself, and you have to deal with that particular monster, okay? You can't say, and then deal with the addiction separately from the domestic violence. And so we just wanted to share that with you and to begin to look at it and offer some assistance and offer some help. Can I just minister for a minute? I just want to minister again to those of you who have found yourself in domestic violence and you're drinking to escape. You ran your bath water every night, and you've hidden liquor in the hamper so that when you get in the tub, you can just kind of drink and you can begin to just kind of escape from the reality of the domestic violence. That's not the answer. That's not an answer for you. I just want to minister to you. I just want to minister to you. I want you to begin to understand that God has a way, that there is a way for you to escape, that God can give you the courage that you need to get away from that abuse, okay, to get your children away. You may be saying that, no, I can't leave. There are a lot of reasons why women are saying, I can't leave, I can't go anywhere. This is my lot in life. I pulled the short straw. No, I'm not. We're not going with that. We're not going with that. We're going with the premise that God loves you enough that He does not want you to be hurt. He does not want you to be abused. He does not want you to be talked down to. And your answer is not in the bottom of a bottle. Your answer is not rolled up in papers. Come on, somebody. Your answer is in Jesus the Christ. And because of that, I pulled some scriptures out. And I'm hoping that these scriptures will help you. And it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servant, you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Whomever you yield your members to, whomever you yield yourself to obey, that's who you become enslaved to. And some of you have become enslaved to alcohol. You've become enslaved to other types of addictions, things of that nature. And God is saying that I desire that you yield yourself over to me. And that scripture is found in Romans 6 and 16. John 8 and 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. God's desire is to get you to be free. God's desire is to get you to be whole. You don't have to be addicted. There is an answer. There is a balm in Gilead. And then if you will begin to seek out the answer, God can begin to heal you. He can begin to make you whole. I don't want you to feel helpless. I don't want you to feel hopeless. And I'm not just talking to those who are in domestic violence, because there are family members who feel like, okay, she's in that. She's never going to leave him, you know, and I'm just going to cut her off. Don't do that. I implore you not to do that. Stay there. Be there for them as many times as it takes for you to be a listening ear, as many times as it takes for you to be a help to minister to them. Be there for them. Don't walk away. Don't walk away. And I say that because I had friends who didn't walk away, who didn't leave me, who didn't say, okay, she went back to him again, I'm not going to be there for her. Every time I left, they were there for me. Every time I left, they were there for me. And so I just want to say that this thing isn't hopeless. People are looking at domestic violence, because it seems to be something that's escalating at an all-time high. It's an epidemic. Domestic violence is an epidemic. It's growing in epidemic proportions. It's not just happening to the poor woman, to the uneducated woman. It's now happening to those who are educated. Athletes are committing domestic violence. Apostles, preachers, pastors are committing domestic violence. The deacon is domestic violence. I've said it before. It's equal opportunity. It doesn't care who it deals with. It can hit anybody. But I don't want us to become hopeless. I don't want us to become one who has no hope. There is a bomb in Gilead. There is an answer to this thing. Amen. And I decree and declare that we seek out the answer, that we seek out the answer, and that answer being in Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 5:18-20 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's an alternative. Here's an alternative to shutting yourself up in the bathroom and getting the liquor from your hiding place. How about shutting yourself up in the bathroom and getting you a CD player and putting in a CD that's going to minister to you and that's going to help you through that thing, and or putting on a prayer. There is a prayer that somebody gave me of Cindy Trim, and it's an atomic prayers, atomic warfare prayers. Phenomenal CDs. It's an hour long, and she's doing nothing but praying on this CD. And it's not happenstance that in this CD she often calls out domestic violence. Okay, and so how about ordering that CD? Oh, here's the thing. Here's the thing right here. Call me, email me, look me up on Facebook. I can copy the CD and I'll get it to you. I'll get it to you. Here's another alternative. You can download it on YouTube. You can download it on YouTube. The whole prayer is on YouTube. And just go get off to yourself when you can and get in that quiet place and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. But here the verse says in Ephesians 5:18-3, be not drunk with wine. Be not drunk with wine. Wherein is in excess? Were you trying to drown your sorrows? Were you trying to forget about it because of your shame? Can I just talk about that? The shame that you feel for allowing this thing to happen to you, the shame that you feel when you look at your children who are looking at you like, why are you allowing this to happen to you, the shame that you are feeling, I just want you to know that there is a place in God. Hallelujah. There is a place in God that can strengthen you and that can give you the strength that you need to be able to endure. Amen, amen. And so we just wanted to share that with you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amen. So even when the thought comes for you to roll it up, when the thought comes for you to drink, when the thought comes, whatever your choice is, your substance of choice is, there God says, I can make a way for you to escape. You don't have to give in to that. You don't have to give in to that. Amen. But there is an answer. There is, again, a bomb in Gilead. And so we just want to minister to you. Verses 12 through 15. And I hope that you're writing down some of these scriptures, and when you get some time alone, when you're pulling away from the situation, when you're praying to God, that you will open up your Bible and that you begin to understand and begin to know, no, my answer does not lie in the bottle of that Hennessy. It's not in the bottom of it. It's not in the bottom of just drinking myself into a stupor. Okay? That there is an answer. Again, there is an answer. There is a bomb in Gilead. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. For the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man, when he is tempted, he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that's talking about, you know, the death of hell, the death of, you know, just death can be equated in so many instances. You know, the numbness that you feel like when you sober up, or the numbness that you feel when you wake up that next day and your children didn't make it to school because you overslept, because you were hungover, or you were coming down from your high, or that can be a death too. That's a death too. The killing of a dream in a child. Come on, somebody. So there are so many instances that we're talking about when we're talking about death, that we need to begin to understand that God says that don't even say to God, I did it. I didn't tempt you. He said you were carried away with your own lust. You got caught up in your situation as opposed to looking to the hills from whence cometh your help. You looked at your situation and you thought that there was an answer is something other than God, and that's not the case. Okay? That's not the case. James 4:7 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Submit yourself to God. And I like this one. This one is a quick one. This is one that I actually have in this scripture taped on my desk. I have it taped on my desk. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit, resist, he'll flee. Submit to God, resist the enemy, resist the temptation, and it'll flee. He'll flee. The enemy will flee. And so that's James 4:7. These are just some of the scriptures that I was looking at today. I printed quite a few of them. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the reason why I'm giving you these particular scriptures is because, especially for those of you who are trying to find an out in drinking alcohol or in turning to drugs, you're trying to find an out, and you're finding yourself, you need more. You know, it's like trying to remember that movie that came on, Seymour. Remember The Plant? It's an old movie. I'm telling my age, and I know that I am. But it's an old movie, and it was about a plant. And Seymour was growing this plant that was from outer space, and this plant was growing, and he was feeding it, and it just kept saying, feed me, Seymour, feed me, Seymour. And Seymour had to go and get more and more and more to feed it. Okay, and that's how it is with addiction. It takes more for you to try to get to that high that you had the last time. It takes more, it takes more, it takes more. And eventually it's just eating away at you. And so you want to get to a point where as you're walking by the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And each time I remember the old hymn, and I said a lot, yield not to temptation. For yielding is sin. Each victory will help you another to win. Every time you say no, it'll strengthen you to say no again. You say no to the alcohol. Begin to pour out that liquor. Begin to throw away those bottles. Begin to get rid of whatever it is you've chosen to try to self-medicate. Get rid of it. Say no to it. And the more you say no, the stronger you'll get. And then in addition to saying no, you're reading the word. In addition to saying no, you're in that cow, God, take me away, and you got your gospel music on, and you're ministering, and you're learning how to pray. You're learning how to have commune with God. And God said if you draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. And so he's strengthening you. He's enabling you. He's getting you to a point where you can begin to stand up, where he's giving you the assertiveness that you need to be able to know who you are in him. You're finding out who he is in you, and you're being strengthened every day. Amen. Until you get to a point where you don't need that. You don't need that. All you need is a little more Jesus to help you along the way. Amen. Amen. And so these are just some of the scriptures that we're reading. The particular scripture that I just read for you, that's Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. And again, we have many, many others. Here's another one that I have to share. No temptation has overtaken you except as it comes unto man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of your escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And so nothing has happened that God doesn't know about. That's the scripture. Nothing has happened. Nothing has happened that God isn't aware of. God knows all about it. But he'll also give you a way to escape. He'll give you the way out. And I read that, I think, previously to this. But it's on another sheet. And it bears repeating. It bears repeating that God knows exactly what you're going through. But God says, I can give you a way out of that situation. If you will submit to me, resist the devil, he'll flee. Submit to me, resist the devil, he'll flee. I want you to keep that in mind. And so that can strengthen you to be able to get through that next circumstance, that next situation. God can do it. Amen. So this has been our segment on tonight when we're talking about substance abuse and domestic violence. We showed you the differentiating factors between the substance abuse and domestic violence. We've taken away the lie that a person is abusive because of alcohol, or he's abusive because he's on drugs. That's a lie. That's not true. Those are two separate monsters, and each of them need to be dealt with. Amen. Okay, so we don't want to say that anymore. We want to look and get the help that is needed for them. We want to encourage them to get help so that they can be a whole, a healthy individual. If you're a person and you are bound by drugs or alcohol and you're using that as an excuse to say that you have this violent behavior, we want to snatch that rug right out from under you, and we want to encourage you to get help. We want to encourage you to get help for the substance abuse, and we want to encourage you to get help for the domestic violence abuse. You need assistance, and there is help for you. There is help for you. We've often shared with you that there are other facilities that are available. You can call us, reach out to Hope Alliance, and we can send you to somebody. If you don't want to go through us, we can help you to find a good counselor. Most domestic violence places also render batterer counseling. A person that's a batterer, they have counseling available at domestic violence facilities. If you would just reach out to them, South Suburban Family Crisis Center, they're available. If you call them, they can assist you. There's help for you. There's no excuse for domestic violence. It's kind of like a person, who would have pneumonia, who would get pneumonia and wouldn't go and get an antibiotic, and they would die from pneumonia. There's no reason. There's no reason. Because there's help. There's something available for you. And there's no reason for domestic violence because there's help available. There's no reason. This is a monster. This is an epidemic that we could squash in a day. We could squash it in a day if those who need the assistance would just reach out and get it. Reach out and get it. Reach out and get it. It's available. So we're going to end in prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for those who are listening. And we thank you, O Lord God, for those who this blog will reach, O Lord God. We pray now in the name of Jesus again that it will be a help. We pray now, God, to that person who's a batterer, O Lord God, and who does not understand why. We pray for them, God, if they're dealing with some type of substance abuse, O Lord God. We pray now in Jesus' name that you will begin to help them to reach out and get the help that they need, Father God. We pray now, God, for that woman or that man that's going through domestic violence, God, and this dealing with it. We pray now, God, for children, God, who are witnessing this violent behavior, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would be a very present help in the time of their trouble, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, that they will begin to draw nigh to you, God, no matter whom they are, oh Lord God. If they are the abuser, if they are the abused, if they're the bruised, the children, the family members, that they will reach out, oh Lord God. There is help available, God. Help them to reach out. Give them the courage to reach out, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. So we snatch the lie from the enemy now that those who are abusers is because of their substance abuse, God. We snatch that lie away in the name of Jesus, and we impart truth. We impart truth, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of whom the Son is set free will be free indeed, oh Lord God. So we thank you now, God, for their freedom in the mighty matchless name of Jesus. We pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is in Jesus' name. Again, thank you so much for joining us on tonight's episode of Nothing But the Truth, and tonight's episode of Breaking the Silence. Nothing But the Truth is on Tuesdays. on tonight's episode of Breaking the Silence, we do so appreciate you, and we look forward to what God is going to do in your life. Until next week, may God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Good night, everyone, and God bless you.